This is CliffCentral.com. It's Wednesday morning. We're ready to look after you today, as we are every morning. And we got the whole team here. We've got Ben Karpinski back.
Yeah, hi.
Back yesterday already, but he's back again.
And less ill today.
And less ill. That's very good news. So am I. I was coughing and for the last 2 days. I think I might have broken the back of that. Woohoo! Mabale Moloi is here. Good morning, Mabs.
Hello.
Sia Sangweni is here.
Top of the morning.
And Amanda is here. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, everybody. All right. Sure, there's a lot to talk about today. There's a lot going on. I hope you are having a good start to your Wednesday morning. Where do we begin? Sure. Yeah, what do you want to start with? You seem like you have an agenda, Sia.
Did you feel like spending time with kids yesterday didn't exactly make your coughing better?
Well, these kids all had flu, so yeah. I was extremely paranoid. In fact, I felt kind of bad because Brent Lindekew crossed over to us at the creche that we were at yesterday, and he goes, Gareth, how's it going there at the creche? You know, Brent's all positive, and he's all full of, like, good energy, and he just wants to help people and all that kind of thing. And I went, oh, my God, these children are all sick. That's the first thing I said.
Which is true, but unfortunate.
So I thought, oh, no, I'm definitely going to get ill now. But what I did is, you didn't see, but I had
You had hand sanitizer?
Yeah, I had that in the car, and I was periodically just... Because I didn't want to, like, stay away from the children. Half the point of being there is that you got to be, you know, you got to, like, pick up the kids and kick the ball around with them and help them with their food and all that kind of thing. And we had a fun time with these kids.
I instantly worried about you when we got to the creche for the 67 minutes. And I picked up a little kid.
Yeah.
And kids have this weird way of just being. And the kid looks at me straight in the eyes. Yeah. And then just coughs a hot one into my mouth. Just a hot one.
That kid isn't. If that happened to me, the kid would be in danger of being thrown into a fence or something.
I knew. If that happened to you, it would be game over. It would have been like 6.7 seconds.
But all children do that. It's not. It's not unexpected. Anyway, we had a good day, and you know, a lot of like the Mandela Day stuff. A lot of it is a big bunch of people showing off. What good people they are. I get that. I think a lot of people genuinely do good stuff all year round, which I really think is the hero story. But we went through to this creche. We did our little bit, and whatever you did yesterday, you're allowed to feel good about it. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. All right.
Even if you are a complete narcissist and it's like, look at me, I'm doing good. So what? At least he's doing good.
Well, whatever. Just do something nice for someone else. To me, that counts. Exactly. It counts as a good karma situation. What we did with these kids is we cleared some of the crap in their playground. We dug away some weeds and some grass. Jane was there with me. She was doing a lot of hard labor.
Oh, yeah.
Jane said, and then I said to her, wow, Jane, you're working hard. She's like, I'm from a rural area. This is what we do all the time. No surprises there. And, Amanda was working hard. Amanda, you loved it, huh?
Yeah, no, it was lots of fun. I had a great time.
And there were some very cute kids there. There was this one little kid who had such attitude.
Yeah, she was Jordan. He was quite ghetto.
I was talking about that other little one, Emmy. Oh. She was like 2 years old, and she just had this look on her face like, don't mess with me, you know?
I do love kids that can put any adult in their place with immediate effect.
It's actually kind of like awkward when you go to kid and like playing around and you like smiling and the kid's not today.
I'm not feeling you. Get away from me. Yeah. You are a waste of my time.
You get that look from them like you are wasting their time. But Amanda and I both felt the same afterwards. It wasn't a feeling of, oh, this is great. I'm doing so much good. It was like, I feel like you can't really do enough. There's so many people in need in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that every drop counts. Mm-hmm. I get that. But man, you just feel like you're not going to make the biggest difference. And even if you do in those kids' lives yesterday, what about today? And what about tomorrow? And what about the day after? Because we're not going to be there every day. I'm not a social worker.
Mm.
And I feel, you know, it's in this really rundown neighborhood. And Turfantine is really just, I mean, it used to be the mining residence village for the old Johannesburg when it was a mining town. So you've got these very small houses, and there are a couple of little spaza shops that are open there, but otherwise it's really just quite run down. There's not a lot of business there. Muzikozwayo and I were talking about how the businesses have all cleared out, so there's not a lot going on in that part of town. So obviously all the parents who live there have to go far from there to find work. And, you know, this is what the politicians have done to our country, largely, is they've hollowed out parts of South Africa which should be thriving. Every neighborhood should be thriving. There should be space in every neighborhood for a hairdresser and a clothes shop and a doctor and a little legal practice and someone who mends clothes. And, you know, there should be this industry. But instead, we've got 17 million people on welfare in South Africa. And that's because the government wants to keep those people dependent, because then they can threaten them with taking away that money if they don't vote for them. And this is the great legacy that unfortunately will remain in people's minds long after the ANC has stopped being a liberation movement, which it effectively stopped being in 1994. So all it's got to show for the last few years is a small improvements here and there, of course. And especially up to the last 7 years, it had some improvements to show and some incredible stature that we'd established for ourselves internationally, and power and authority in moral senses. Like when, for example, Madiba would invite his friends here, regardless of whether the U.S. approved of them or not. You know, Fidel Castro, Yasser Arafat, those kind of guys. They came here and Madiba said, "Don't tell me who I can and can't invite to my country." And the Dalai Lama. And then somewhere in between then and now, we became a slave nation again, where China says to us, "You can't have the Dalai Lama in your country." And we go, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir." And we become a country where we let neighborhoods like Turfantine just deteriorate and keep getting worse. Services aren't looked after there. It just feels to me, and that's the real South Africa, I'm afraid.
Mm.
Because every city in South Africa has a Turfantine.
Yeah, there used to be just one. Now there's like five.
And then people are surprised when people get disgruntled with their living conditions. Why are you surprised?
Yeah. No, it's really actually kind of sad. Anyway, I do find that it makes us feel like we're doing the right thing and moving in the right direction when we're all doing good things. And yesterday was an example of that. So even if you don't like Mandela Day, that's cool. Do your own thing. You don't have to take part. For those people who did, you're allowed to feel as good as you like about doing the little bit that you did do. Or the lot that you did do. Some people do amazing things every day, and good for you. Thank God for you, in fact, because you're the kind of person then who is advancing humanity and society and everything else. So that was yesterday with Mandela Day. I've got to go to Cape Town tomorrow, and I'm going to be in Cape Town for the show on Friday. I'm filming a bunch of educational videos.
Oh,
should be fun.
Tell us about
this. Yeah, I've got this obsession with chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a company that makes laboratory equipment, and they supply schools with chemicals for the experiments and the various physics apparatus that they need to learn about chemistry and physics, particularly rural and underprivileged schools. And some of them are so poor, these schools, that they can't even afford that stuff.
No.
So what they do is they supply them with a video where, for example, in these few that we'll film, I'll be the one doing the experiment and explaining to the kids what's going on.
Mm.
I'm not a teacher, but I have a love for this, and hopefully they'll recognize me from, you know, television and all the rest of it, and then that'll help them to internalize this stuff. You got to use whatever you can to educate kids. And in South Africa, obviously, science and maths are not the favorite subjects because they're hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they take a fair amount of focus, and if you don't get the basics right, the rest doesn't come along very well. So it's something I've always wanted to do, and I'm going to go down and record these on Friday during the day. And that'll be, I think, a fun thing for me because, you know, I'm a slightly frustrated architect, inorganic chemist, history teacher. There are a whole bunch of things in my life I still want to do.
Why don't you build a laboratory in your house?
He has.
No, I haven't. I haven't yet. I want to build one, but it's, first of all, it's really expensive to build a lab.
Yeah, because you can't just have like shelves in the basement.
No, you have to have a plan and, you know, you have to have it. Also, in a residential area, you've got to be damn careful what you bring in.
Yeah, isn't it like a hazard?
Oh, definitely. So you've got to make sure you comply.
I say like a hazard. It's a freaking hazard.
Look, I mean, I would like to. We'll see whether I ever do or not. But then I would film stuff like that on my own. I'd maybe even bring someone in to film it with me. And we would do these videos more regularly. So let's see. I don't know. And then, you know, again, I just wish I had, and I'm sure we all feel like this. Don't you wish you had a whole lot of spare time to just chase down those things that you've got on your bucket list? Those things that you really want to do. Like, for example, there are buildings I would love to design and build. There are things that I would love and I mean physical constructions that I would like to build. And I get really frustrated when I think time is marching on. Mm. I'm doing the same stuff I was doing 10 years ago, which I'm not, but technically I am. It's not enough. You feel this immense pressure to just keep moving forward.
Sometimes during the day at work, I daydream about how I should be ticking off things on the bucket list.
Well, at least that's doing something.
No, it's just daydreaming. It's a complete waste of time.
I'm always the optimist, but how's that doing something?
It's not.
Well, you're thinking about it. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you can manifest these things. If you think about them and once you start to imagine it, I hate to quote R. Kelly, but if you can see it.
Oh, that's another thing.
And you can do it. If you just believe it.
He's seeing young girls,
There's nothing to it. Right?
That's another problem. When we pitched up to this crash yesterday, you know, there we were thinking we're ready, going to help the kids.
Gareth playing R. Kelly.
No, literally,
you step out of the car, blasting from the speakers that they've set up at the crash is R. Kelly with ignition. No. I'm like, hold up.
Now these little toddlers.
Three and four-year-olds
waddling around to... Here's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen.
I'm like, this is three cups of all types of wrong. That is nasty.
Anyway, listen, today we have to, I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet.
Neither have I.
Anybody?
No.
Nope.
Even Gord Laws is here this morning and he hasn't even watched it. Morning. So we can't do our Game of Thrones death pool yet. Let's give you an extra day's grace so you can watch the episode because it was meant to have been watched on Monday night. That was when it was broadcast.
I am intending to watch it tonight. That's the plan. That's if everything goes
Amanda,
have
you watched it?
No, but I have some info.
You're not going to spoil anything for us, are you? Think about this very carefully, because if you're going to do a spoiler, then we'd rather not hear it.
Well, okay.
Do we want to know who's died?
No.
Oh, so somebody already has dropped.
Of course Amanda knows. Amanda's got topless pictures of Tiger on her phone.
No, Amanda, you can't tell us that, because that's a spoiler.
Okay.
Amanda's got everything.
No, you can't tell us who, but the fact that somebody has already died means the death pool is already kicking off to an interesting start.
Someone has to die.
It almost feels like ethically we should actually have a week's delay in going into the death pool because there are a lot of people who don't see the show as it comes out.
I thought about that. I thought we'd give them 2 days of grace and favor in terms of...
God, we've also got to be on the cutting edge, though. This is the problem with the show.
Yeah.
That is a very tricky balance.
No, but
cutting
you see,
edge journalism that we all pledged our.
Our strong point, yeah.
I'll do this. Let's do it tomorrow because then it gives us a chance to watch the show. And Gord will get you on Skype so that you can partake.
Nice.
But because you've got a bunch of names as well. But before we talk about it, I will play some kind of sound that if you're on the podcast, you can pause. And we'll warn you in the blurb of the podcast how long we talk about Game of Thrones so that you can come back in and then listen to that part when you're ready.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you're listening live, we'll just say, now's the part where we're going to bust some spoilers out, go make a coffee and have a wee.
Also, you see, the problem in the days of catch up, where people get to watch things in their own time, that whole notion of spoiler alert has really been, like, it's now a gray area. I mean, some people are only going to watch this episode a week from now. You know what I'm saying?
Or save it up and binge watch it. I've done that
or
before,
save
where
it up
you
and
deliberately don't watch
exactly.
it so that you can watch it all at once. Yeah. Because I hate that, waiting for a week to find out what the cliffhanger was about. Instant gratification in the modern age.
Sure. I watched a little trailer, though, yesterday. It was a YouTube trailer that someone linked me up with, where you can get a 5-minute summary of everything that's happened in Game of Thrones up to now, believe it or not.
Whoa.
I mean, it leaves out quite a lot,
but
it's there.
That would take 17 years to edit. Thank you.
Yes, but it's so, there.
Someone's literally been doing it since day one.
I think HBO put it together.
Was this the one with Samuel L. Jackson doing the narration?
No. That's
that
funny.
Was pretty cool.
That's funny, but no, it's not that one. All right, well, it's 25 after 6 already. We've got lots to get to today. We actually have a harrowing story. A guy called Mark Francis is going to pop by. He contacted Sia and I, and he wanted to tell us the story of a horrible sexual abuse when he was a kid. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about this stuff because it's awkward and it's personal and it's emotional and it's scarring and...
There's so many, vulnerable.
Yeah, and particularly guys don't like to talk about it because as a young man growing up, you're meant to stand up for yourself and be strong. And you know, if it happens to a girl, girls are encouraged to talk a little bit, and girls talk to each other. With men, they sometimes have communication difficulties. Anyway, Mark is going to pop by and tell us about this horrible, harrowing story of, you know, how his life just spun out of control because of this sexual abuse.
But at the same time, he still says, you know, no one's perfect, and let's talk about these things, you know.
Yeah, and he did eventually, you know, end up more or less happy, and he has some difficult stories to tell about how he's tried to commit suicide and lots of other things. I just thought, we all sit and complain about our lives so much, and we think, oh, it's cold, or, oh, I don't feel so well, or, oh, there isn't much money in the bank. Or these are not important things when you look at how hard your life could be and how hard some people's lives are. So I thought it would be a great idea to talk to Mark. We'll get him in here at about 7:30 this morning, and then we've got Professor Fulufelo Nelwawondo, who is a guy who... He's 34 years old. He's got a PhD in electrical engineering, and he's been working in artificial intelligence. I mean, this is an incredible story for a guy from Limpopo. He's from like a village in Limpopo. So, you know, you go from the sublime to the ridiculous in terms of people who think they have nothing because they grew up in rural Limpopo, and they end up becoming artificial intelligence PhDs.
Oh, yeah. You know, so he's now using maths and robotics in a way that could make a huge difference in crime fighting in our country.
Correct. And by the way, he is the first person in his family to go to university. So again, you can either sit and complain about how miserable your life is.
I don't know why I should do things for Mandela Day because everybody else, my life's shittier than most people's.
Well, we'll give you both sides of that story this morning too, just to remind you that it's not all bad, and some people have to fight really hard for every advantage that they have, including this guy. And he's a professor, so we might just learn something along the way. Anyway, that's what's coming up. Somebody just sent me a picture of Liam Neeson saying, if anyone sends me any Game of Thrones spoilers, I will find you and I will kill you.
I have been thoroughly entertained by the arguments that have broken down on Twitter between Game of Thrones fans and those who despise Game of Thrones. It's really it's really funny how those arguments very quickly deteriorate and become personal.
I saw a very funny one where someone said me, and then a person who can't wait to tell me that they don't watch Game of Thrones. Hi, I'm whatever.
Yes.
Oh, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Straight away, without introducing themselves or saying their name or anything. Seems like it's a badge of honor to some people.
I would like to apologize.
Why?
Like,
what have you
take
done?
This time to apologize.
What for did you what? Do?
Because I now absolutely understand how it feels if you do not like Beyonce, but people are constantly posting about things like her twins being born or the first pictures. Because now when I go on social media, I just see Game of Thrones everywhere. I just want to tell people, like, fuck off and get off my timeline now. But now I get it.
One of my GBFFs was on Facebook yesterday, and he posted a quote that was
GBFF.
What's GBFF?
Gay best friend.
One of my gay besties, Tulani Khadebe. He's like quite a champion.
Yes.
So Tools posted something inspirational on Facebook yesterday that, and you know, he's like Beyonce insane.
Yeah.
So he posted something inspirational on Facebook yesterday. It was very similar to a set of lyrics from a Metallica song. So I, in the comments there, I posted the full lyrics and said Metallica, and he said, "What's a Metallica?" And I said, "It's a thing that writes its own songs." So that was
fantastic.
But I'm falling into a special gray area when it comes to Game of Thrones fans. Just to continue flogging that horse, I am the Game of Thrones reluctant Game of. I find it traumatic. Mm. I wish I hadn't started with it, but I have to know.
Yeah.
When they did that shit to Theon Greyjoy involving
his balls and his cock.
No,
isn't he the guy from Aha?
I wouldn't be able to answer that question.
No, you're thinking Morten Harkett. No, Theon Greyjoy was
the names that threw me on the show. You're like, oh, wait.
Yeah, they are complicated. He's the guy who was held as a slave by the. He was told he was like a worm. What was his.
Reek.
Reek. They called him Reek.
God, it's traumatic.
He was,
yes,
he was basically emasculated. And
he was de-willied. Well, castrating is the nuts, right?
Castrating, that's like the whole deal, I think.
No, castration is the nuts.
Oh, is it just the...
What's the whole...
He was de-willied.
What's pecking off the member? What's that called?
I don't know.
De-penisifying.
The worst is what it's called.
That's called a tragedy, really.
Yeah, it's just the saddest thing because...
Especially if they leave you with your bag of goodies.
How's
because you're going to then you're going to then wish you were able to fire down the range, but you're not.
Yeah, but also if they cut off your actual cock, how do you pee?
I'm sure that you're left with the exit pipe.
Oh, the tube.
Well, yeah, it'd be like a sawn-off shotgun, but just not so.
But I mean, it must be such a mess because now you can't aim when
you're pretty much just going forward and in all directions.
Yeah.
Well, you would sit down, which would obviously be the aim of the process.
This is why I wish I didn't watch Game of Thrones.
Well, a eunuch is eunuch technically is a man who has been castrated, especially in the past, one employed to guard the women's living areas at an oriental court. And the other definition of a eunuch is an ineffectual person.
Ineffectual sexually.
No, presumably. They mean an ineffect. So you could say someone is, in work terms, they're a eunuch. So if you were just really shitty at your work.
So we could argue that our president is a eunuch.
He's a eunuch.
Despite being able to reproduce like no other man on the
planet. It would be an ironic slant on him, but yeah, you're technically correct.
Yeah, and the word has steadily fallen out of use from about 1800 to now.
Mostly because there aren't too many eunuchs in society. It used to be a thing, oh yeah, Gary the eunuch. Yeah, I went around his house last night. Because they would be a part of society.
Right. By the way, the one guy who is a eunuch in the Game of Thrones is that bald dude who knows everything.
Mm. The one whose little birdies tell him everything.
Well, that's because he has so much time on his hands.
There's also that other guy, part of the Unsullied.
Yes, Grey Worm.
He's also a eunuch.
Because
that whole army
That whole eunuchs. Army, they hacked their members off.
Oof. And they're like ninjas.
Yeah.
The Chinese were the biggest eunuch makers in history. They used to de-ball a lot of men to look after the princesses and others in the Oriental court there.
That's very interesting. So in order to protect the women, they would hack off their...
Well, they needed men who were physically capable of guarding, but who weren't sexually capable of impregnating. Otherwise, as we know from history, there are countless situations where some royal wife, bride, daughter, sister has suddenly produced offspring, and it's been very embarrassing because they don't know who the father is, and it could just be some peasant.
God forbid.
Can you imagine how different the movie The Bodyguard would have been if Kevin Costner was a eunuch? Because he would have looked after Whitney properly while then having romantics.
It would be less annoying music in the world.
He would have been a great bodyguard.
You don't have the desire. I understand if you've been clipped. You don't have the.
No, you don't. You don't produce testosterone that is absorbed into your body because you don't have a place that produces testosterone.
I don't know how far we're allowed to go with interrogating this, but can the thing still stand upright?
Yes,
will it?
The penis will, but there's nothing to happen.
Okay, the visuals that I'm getting. Okay.
You also get eunuchs in the Bible. There are these men called castrati.
Oh, the castrati, hey.
They are singers.
Oh, it makes it classy.
They're like the fabulous ones.
The castratis. Castrato
singers are men who are de-balled before puberty so that they can use their little boy voice for longer.
Singing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And there we thought Joe Jackson was a horrible father.
Congratulations, young Ben. You are the best singer in your whole group of 100.
We're
going
to cut off your balls.
Congratulations. Wow. You get to be the lifelong singing
We want you to stay where you are vocally. So we'll cut your cock off.
Humans have been backwards for a while, though, eh?
Yeah.
Like, we really have been a
disappointment. One of the most famous eunuchs in history was someone called Sporus.
Sporus.
Also, Sporus.
Sporus was an attractive Roman boy who was castrated by and later married to Emperor Nero.
Nero is probably the biggest dickhead of history. I figure I've got to do a feature on this guy. He was this guy. Wow.
It's maybe time to resuscitate Dickheads of History.
With Emperor Nero.
It was a very popular
series. Next week, Nero will get the full rundown.
Yeah. All right, but enough of
castrating
this.
Castrating boys to sing for him.
As marvelous, not to sing, to marry, for other purposes.
Oh, God.
But for this morning, we're out of time talking about ballless people, and it's now time to move on to the news, which is brought to you, as every morning, by Colcacchio Pizzeria. You have to download this app. I keep on telling you because it's really massively important. I'm actually going to meet the people from Colcacchio's tomorrow evening at the new store at the V&A Waterfront in Cape Town, so I will report back on Friday morning on how fantastic it is.
You're not going to embarrass all of us by telling them that they can't have ingredients on their pizza, right?
I don't tell other people what to do, Ben. You know
you do.
That. No,
every
I really
day.
Don't. No, I tell people what I do, and then they can decide whether or not they're on board.
Why don't you live a little and try a different pizza tomorrow?
Yeah, why don't you say, hey, guys, what do you suggest I have?
All right, go on. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
That's
I'll take your,
be your opening
Here's the deal.
Salvo at
tomorrow
this table.
Morning. At this time, you help me decide what kind of a pizza I'm going to go for.
No, you ask your lovely guests, or your hosts.
Oh, you mean the people from Colcacchio?
Yeah, they're the best ones.
Michael, okay, I'll ask Michael and Chantel.
Pineapple and coriander pizza, man.
Done. I'll try with whatever. I'll go with whatever they suggest. They're the experts. What do I know? And maybe I'll learn something. Fine. You see, don't ever let it be said that I can't have my mind changed.
Ben just triggered his stubbornness reactor.
Okay, Ben, I will not have a margarita tomorrow.
Hooray.
Yes, Mubs, you sound so excited.
Yeah, listen, the penis talk kind of went into the news headlines time, so I'm going to leave this story for after 7 o'clock.
Right.
This is the one regarding
Damn penis talk.
Our deputy police minister. He had a whole lot of interesting things to say about the problem with foreigners in Johannesburg.
You sent us a clip last night.
Yes,
yeah, we'll play that
and get into that after 7. Look, he must have been dealt with a lot of heat for what he said because Police Minister Fikile Mbalula very quickly apologized for his deputy's remarks.
Oh, really?
So we'll get into that story after 7. Essentially, the deputy minister was saying, how is it that Johannesburg in a city can have a population of 80% foreign nationals? And then he went on to say that the problem with crime in the city is because of said foreign nationals. So we'll get into all of that. Now, listen, if you at any point today are going to need to call 10111, don't.
Why?
Because police emergency call center workers will be taken to the streets today to demand better wages. So I don't think that your calls are going to be answered today.
I know you've planned an emergency for today, but please, if you can, try and make it tomorrow.
The workers say that they have exhausted all avenues. They say they've been left with no choice but to shut down all call centers today. Last month, the workers marched to the office of the police minister over the issue, and the workers said that they want to be paid the same as workers at other government call centers. Meanwhile, police say that contingency plans are in place to ensure that there are no disruptions to the service. So, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
That sounds ridiculous. Sounds like they should be paid the most. They need to be skilled, deal with trauma, and they're getting paid less than other call center people.
I mean, remember we listened to that Henry Van Breda call where clearly, you know, he had offed his family and then couldn't describe the address
accurately. Yeah.
And neither could she, the woman who's taking the call, help him.
She said she couldn't find the address on her system or whatever. Or that's what it sounded like during the call. All right, and then Parliament and SAPS have agreed to provide security to ANC MP Makosi Khoza. This was following the number of death threats against her. The latest threat against Dr. Khoza came last week with a warning that said that she had 21 days to live. The speaker in the National Assembly, Baleka Mbete, and National Council of Provinces Chairperson Thandi Modise revealed yesterday that after consultations with SAPS, they had agreed that Khoza needs security.
Well, we even had experience of this on Monday. She was meant to come in to talk to us on Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and she couldn't make it because there was some kind of crisis, and it was probably a security crisis, and she didn't even check into her hotel the night before.
Yeah.
So I would think that this was a matter of the utmost urgency. And they finally decided that she deserves protection.
Yeah, I remember there were a couple of people on social media who, you know, tweeted the police minister saying, well, what are you going to do about Makosi Khoza's life allegedly being under threat? And then he responded saying, yes, he will look into the matter.
Yeah,
A day after Makosi Khoza said, please, SAPS haven't done anything nearly enough.
And he went and retweeted some stupid comment from somebody who said that she's not a team player.
Mm.
Almost indirectly in retweeting that, saying, well, she deserves these threats. Yeah.
So now it would seem that members of parliament have gotten involved. A security assessment has apparently been done on Makosi Khoza, and thus the decision has now been taken that, yes, she does need security detail. Now, Makosi Khoza could not be reached for comment last night. Apparently she was flying out of Johannesburg. This is after her participation in an initiative still calling for President Jacob Zuma to step down from the presidency. But yeah, Baleka Mbete said that she received, you know, a report following the alleged incidents where her life was under threat. They did a whole security assessment, and now they've decided that, nope, she definitely needs security detail.
Mm. Well, I think it should happen ASAP.
I heard yesterday that the cell phone that all those messages were coming through from, it was linked to a BLF LGBT. What are those guys called?
Whoa.
Don't involve the LGBT.
Yeah, don't involve.
We already have too many issues on us. Okay, that would be significantly scarier.
It was them. So, I mean, you just think of their list of things to do this week.
Yeah.
Death threats, terrorized journalists.
Yeah, I hear you.
Wash Utzel's car.
BLF have constantly denied that they have anything to do with these death threats against Makosi Khoza.
You can't believe anything BLF say because we know absolutely every word is put into their mouths by the Guptas, or they made it up on the trot and then later have to rescind it. Don't listen to these people. And I can't understand how our journalists in mainstream media even pay attention to them. They should be ignored. It's a police matter. They should be handed over to the police. The courts have already said they have no right to pitch up at anyone's house. Courts have also said that they are not an organization that represents anything important. And we know for a fact that the Guptas have been paying them through Bell Pottinger. And we know that the whole thing is a big farce. So Andile and company, will you please piss off?
Well, the ANC Youth League were also raped into rogues.
Spicy news.
I apologize.
Jeez.
They were also roped into the situation because last month, Makosi Khoza was forced to leave her home in Durban after alleged threats that she was receiving from the Youth League in Durban. But also, the Youth League denying that they had made any kind of threats against her.
Oros, if the Youth League are making these threats, even if they're veiled threats, arrest someone. What's so hard about that? If I say to Gord, I'm coming to your house tonight to kill you, you better believe he's going to get me arrested. Why should Makosi Khoza have to have such trouble getting bad people out of her life? Madness. All right, we've got to move to sport with Ben. A couple of comments coming through here. The one from Dr. Jonathan Witt. Penectomy is the word that you're looking for when they cut off the cock.
Well, the word that you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's, he's never looking for that one.
Yeah,
I'm
looking for it.
Okay. Let's get to Ben. Ben, what do you got for us this morning in the sport?
Well, Gareth, I've got cricket news.
First, you've got to have your TV sports theme music, which, of course, everybody knows. Sport isn't sport unless that plays.
Sport is up the sport. Right, so yesterday the women Proteas, they had a chance of doing what the men Proteas can't do, and that's win a playoff match. Well, they didn't, sadly.
So it's a sweeping national tradition in cricket.
It's a sweeping national tradition. So unlike the men Proteas, the women Proteas weren't favourites to win this tournament or even take it to up there. So they really punched above their weight, but they also had stupid runouts and ultimately just lost at the end. They did take it very close. They got some late wickets against the English ladies, and they lost by 2 wickets. So England go through, and they'll play Australia, who are going to beat India today. That's the Women's World Cup.
Well, that was exciting. Moving on.
Yeah. Big injury blow for the Proteas. Gary Oscar Balance has been ruled out of the third test. The walking wicket for the English has fractured a finger. So he won't be playing, which means an actual batsman will be thrust into the top order.
You know, Ben, you're sometimes really masterful. The walking wicket for the English has fractured a finger. It's almost as if you thought about this beforehand and wrote it down.
Gareth, if you saw my screen, you probably would think, how the hell do I cope with any of this? England has some issues around the top order at the moment. They obviously had a lot of faith in bringing Balance back, even though he has been so toilet at international level. But at the county level, his average is really good. But as Nasser is saying, or one of those suits said, you know, you can't keep rewarding people for being great domestically. We need international stars. And Gary, although he is Zimbabwean, and the English have had a good run with the Southern Africans, he's just not that guy. So good news for England, bad news for all South Africa there. The next test will only be next Thursday, so we've got a bit of a break. And maybe England can find some players. But it's just very difficult midway through a series to look at your team and go, well, that guy's crap, that guy's crap, that guy's crap.
They'll harvest some from the colonies.
Yeah, well, they have to.
That or they're going to get penectomied again.
Well, exactly, because that was 340 runs can be nothing short than a penectomy, isn't it? If you like local rugby, and if you like local youth rugby, well, you're in for a treat this week because Craven Week is started with a bang. That will be in Johannesburg at the St. Cillian School. So if you're in the area, you can go down and watch that. All the big teams obviously there. Craven Week's a really big deal. Such a big deal that you often find a lot of French people there because they're looking to basically scout these kids from a young age, seduce them with euros and, you know, living in a really cool place and
gym supplements,
and also to tell that the dads can quit their deadbeat jobs as well because they'll be earning euros. So yesterday, well, the Sharks, they took on the Blue Bulls, 53-33 they won, even though they had 14 men for the second half. SWD, that's the Southwestern Districts, they beat Eastern Province 27-22. And well, the big games yesterday was actually the biggest one. The Western Province, who are always so good at this level because they have the greatest selection of schools to pick from. They beat the Pumas 36-10. Free State hammered the Bulants 81-26. Free State have great Bulants to choose from. And then the Lions, well, they'll be in action from today. So if you are in the St. Cillian's area, like I said, get on down there.
I've never been. You think it's worth going?
Well, Gareth, you don't like sports, so I wouldn't say this is a great thing for you to do. But if you are in Johannesburg area today, the Lions take on Western Province. That's be at 3:30. What a epic encounter that's going to be. It'll also be on TV. But yeah, these are like the future stars, and all these games are high scoring tri-fests. They're all very, very exciting, and this is before kids learn to really just run straight into players. They're still running into gaps at this level, which is really, really good. You know, people are saying that like the Rio Olympics was a massive disaster. Well, more and more evidence keeps coming up from it. So they built the Olympic Village to think they're going to sell them as luxury condos, right? That was the big Olympic dream. So the Brazil were going, well, we're losing all this money, but you know, we're going to recoup it in the end. On a percentage level, Gareth, what percent do you think has been sold of these condos? Now, just think, all the athletes in the Olympics got to stay somewhere, right? There's a lot of condos.
10%.
7% has been sold. The Olympic Village is essentially shuttered up, and 7% of people have actually bought into this idea.
Well, isn't that sewage lake nearby and all that kind of thing
actually,
as well?
It's pretty decent, but you know, you're outside of Rio, you know, exactly in like the Copacabana here. But it's 7%, huh? And the actual
too luxurious or not luxurious enough, overpriced. What's
Of course, the whole thing was that everything was generated for the Olympics, Olympics only, right? Mm. So if you want to go out on the piss at Ipanema or Copacabana, it's a long way to get back to home, you know? So they're not exactly in the greatest areas. Plus, there's nothing else really around it because they've just been built. So it's an existing area.
Yeah.
So you probably come home on nights and be attacked by a capybara coming out of the bush.
Capybaras are so cool.
They are pretty cool. But I mean, if you get on the wrong side of one, that may have been slighted by a jaguar earlier in the day. You could be in trouble.
This is presumably, I mean, I'm guessing this is similar to people who think that like we ride elephants down the freeway in Africa.
You're
in Brazil like and it. You're just going to get you're going to get like a fleeing capybara is going to cross your path and the jaguar that's chasing it's going to mistake you.
Well, you know the Olympic golf course? Basically, that's...
Not personally, but I mean, take away for it.
The Olympic golf course during the Olympics was a hotbed for capybaras and all kinds of things. Now, Like the animals, animals have taken over.
The capybara.
The capybaras have formed gangs and they've taken over.
Dude, capybaras befriend all other animals. If you get a moment, you must Google capybaras chilling with everything else. Seriously, capybaras just animals. Friend everything.
Everyone loves them.
They ride crocodiles. They make friends with everything.
And that's why so many get eaten.
Except jaguars.
Well,
jaguars
that's the small price to pay for being everyone's friend, Gareth.
Yeah, Gareth. But the whole Olympic thing has been a mess. And it's now like kind of gone over to Tokyo because Tokyo's budget has now been doubled. They've had to now spend double to make the Tokyo Olympics happen. And they said they still don't have a definite number in mind. And you know, you've got to think, the Japanese people, they know what to do with money, right? They are a wealthy nation, a first world nation. They're very efficient. They're very futuristic. But even they can't work out this conundrum, which is the Olympics, which is probably the biggest waste of money since, well, hanging out with Paris Hilton, I guess.
Don't they just, it never occurred to anybody to just use loads of existing infrastructure.
No. Nope.
Like, put the guys in hotels.
Nobody can make money out of that.
Book the hotels like a year or two ahead so that they empty, use the hotels for the teams. I don't know, like, not build stuff.
Well, no, I agree with you. But unfortunately, that's not what the IOC wants because it doesn't make them lots of money. It makes other people money. It's like the same when Uncle Sepp and his friends came here. They built a lot of stadiums because they had guys who knew how to make stadiums.
Yeah.
And that's how you make money in life, Gord. Stop being so simplistic.
No, I'm like no Scientologist or anything, but I, for me, you had to have had the infrastructure for these sports in order for dudes to become good enough at them to get to the Olympics. So it's not like there are no javelining facilities in the UK.
No, but they've got to be of a certain class. See, they've got to be approved by the level.
Okay.
That's the certification. Anyway, it is, of course, the Open Championship this week. And as Jordan Spieth said, it's probably the easiest of all the majors to win. And people were going, oh, that's so arrogant. But he makes a very good point because the weather can literally take away half of the field. Depending on what time you tee off in the draw, the weather can completely give you a penectomy as far as getting a chance of winning the claret jug. So if you're looking for betting odds, well, you're not going to get much value in the favorites. Jordan Spieth has kind of gone to the favorite spot. Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Sergio Garcia, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Hideki Matsuyama. Those are your top picks in the betting. But I reckon you can find a real old fart this week is going to do pretty well. It's going to rain pretty much from Thursday through to Sunday. This golf course has been set up in such a way that you don't really need a driver. Dustin Johnson said he's not going to be able to hit driver. Phil Mickelson doesn't even have a driver in the bag this week.
Wow.
It's about good iron play, it's about patience, it's about a bit of experience, a level head, and just battling the nerves. Ernie Els could even be in the mix this week. But more about that tomorrow, with all your favorites and your rundown, and I'll tell you exactly who the weather is going to dick the most. But it's basically going to be bad for everyone, I think.
All right, thank you, Ben. It's over to Henry Biddlecombe, who's in for Anthea Gardner this morning. Henry, how are you, man? Henry, can you hear us?
Good and you, Gareth. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, dude. Listen, I'm sorry. We've got to find you some kind of theme music because I can't play She Works Hard for the Money when you come on. It just doesn't make any sense. But there's quite a lot to talk. There's quite a lot to talk about this morning. I actually got a message from Anthea yesterday about EOH. Do you want to start with that?
Henry. Yeah, we certainly can. So as you know, EOH is one of the country's leading IT systems integrators. And for a long time, it's been a darling of our stock market. You know, this is a share that you could have bought for R5 in 2009. And yesterday, even after it sold off a little bit, it was trading at R115. So shareholders have been handsomely rewarded. But unfortunately, there was an article carried by the Business Report on Wednesday, basically insinuating some impropriety on the part of one of their directors, specifically with SASA. And as you know, this is a department that's already embroiled in a whole lot of controversy over the social grants tender with a company called Cash Paymaster Services.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, management came out with a very strongly worded denial on the send service. But the market didn't seem to care, and the share ended the day down around 9%. And you know, Gareth, considering the environment that South Africa finds itself in at the moment, it's really not the type of news you want to be associated with your business. And I think people are just so tired of corruption. And, you know, often where there's smoke, there's fire.
You know, I think this is an important point. And there are lots of companies that have suddenly been fingered in these reports over the Gupta emails and all the companies that they've had dealings with. I think ultimately it's going to affect a lot of companies very badly, and there's going to be some dirty laundry aired. It could have some very dire consequences for SAP, McKinsey, KPMG, and now EOH, among others.
Yes. You make a very important point there. And I mean, you'd best believe that the media will be investigating the business along with the others that you've mentioned. And, you know, if there is anything to find, I'm sure they will find it. But like I said, it's important to note that management came up with a very strongly worded denial. So they've drawn a line in the sand and they've said, guys, you know, we're not involved in any impropriety. So I guess it remains to be seen what happens. But, you know, if they do find evidence of impropriety, it'll be bad for the company and bad for the share price. So it's a difficult one to call. You know, again, it's a company that's been performing very well. And actually at this level, we think it's extraordinarily cheap. So provided their slate is clean, this would actually be an exceptional buying opportunity.
And of course, it's a company that we believe in fundamentally because they're involved in a world that is expanding, the digital world, the world of internet provision, the world of opening up that space for other businesses. It's got enormous potential, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, thematically, it's exactly the type of business that you want to be investing in. You're right.
Right. Okay, so tell me what else happened on the stock market yesterday.
So ShopRite came out with an update. Sales were up 10%, and I think that was a very strong show versus peers. You know, we've seen much weaker updates coming out of Massmart and coming out of Woolworths recently where sales are actually going backwards. So, you know, despite strong macroeconomic headwinds, this is a business that is performing and executing very well. But the share is priced for perfection, and revenues yesterday seemed to disappoint relative to expectations. So the share was down around 2.7%, which incidentally is the same sort of magnitude of the disappointment. But I still like the business and I still like the share. So I think that was a buying opportunity for you. And then if we look offshore, there was some big news coming out of Netflix. And that's always a fun one to discuss. So
tell us about Netflix.
Netflix was up 13.5%. Right. So Netflix was up around 13.5%. That was basically due to a surprise on the subscriber numbers side. So they grew their subscribers from 99 million to 104 million. So they've broken that sort of symbolic milestone of 100 million subscribers globally. And typically Q2 is a weak quarter for them in terms of subscriber growth. So it was a surprise for the market that there was such sort of strong subscriber growth. And interestingly, their international subscriber base now accounts for 50%. Of their total member base. So the international part of their business is expanding. I don't know if you guys are on Netflix. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, I watch Netflix. I've got it on my Apple TV, and I've got one of those international accounts. So, yep, wherever I can, I do.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic way to consume content. And obviously, it's, you know, it's something we've discussed before. It's changing the way that people consume content. And they also produce their own content. You know, the Television Academy has recently nominated 27 Netflix-produced series for 91 Emmys, and that's also driving content consumption on the platform. So despite the fact that the business doesn't really earn a lot of money, it only made 15 cents per share for the quarter, you know, the sentiment is very positive, and it's just now trading at $183. So it's just one of those skyrocketing tech shares. And, you know, even though it's trading on some ridiculous PE, I think it's 195 trading PE at this point, it's probably a share that you want to own over time because inevitably the earnings grow into the rating, just like an Amazon.
All right. And other news? Is there anything going on internationally we need to pay attention to besides Netflix?
Besides Netflix? No, Gareth, I think, you know, probably worth noting is the sort of narrative coming out of the Fed, and I think we're entering a period now of interest rate hikes. Just listening to how they're communicating this to us, I think the hikes are going to be more gradual and more considered. They're not going to be large and sudden. But generally, if you look back to history, and sometimes that's a precarious exercise because, you know, history doesn't always repeat itself in the market, but it's all we can do. When interest rates start to hike, equities tend to perform well. So I think we remain positive with regards to international equity markets at this point.
All right, Henry, thanks very much for checking in with us this morning. There's an update on the Money Shot. Henry Biddlecombe in for Anthea Gardner. It's just before 7 o'clock, and we're here to look after you this morning between now and 9. Plenty of good stuff on cliffcentral.com today, and we're going to be doing a special outside broadcast later on from MediaTek, which is taking place at the Dome in Johannesburg. We found out about that the other day, And Sia, you went to check it out yesterday. It looks pretty busy and very important.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I now know what it's like to put together like a huge, massive rock concert of notes, because as everything was setting up for, it is like South Africa's biggest tech and entertainment expo, and it's a trade show all put into one. There were so many different stalls. Got to see where we'll be set up. We have a makeshift studio there.
Nice.
We'll be broadcasting three of our shows there. It's amazing. Strobe lights, security. I even had to wear a hard hat as I went in yesterday.
Oh, really?
So I felt like uber cool. It was a black hard hat, really like glossy and shiny. I took a selfie, so duh.
Nice.
So I'll be going there in a little while to set
all
up.
All right, very good. Okay, plenty of other good stuff coming. Cliffcentral.com. Gord was just talking earlier about Metallica, so I thought maybe we need some of that to wake us up this morning.
Bless you, Gareth.
Don't you think?
The good work that you do. Bless you.
Don't you think it would be nice?
What a champion.
You try and guess which song I'm going to play.
I hope you're not going to play Enter Sandman, because that's the obvious choice.
Nope.
I know you're not going to play Battery, because that would be far too cool. I'm going to wait and see.
Okay, well, I'll play it for you, and then you can thank me afterwards, or
I'll
complain.
I'll preemptively thank you, guys.
All right, so either complain or thank me, because you might not like my choice of song.
King Nothing.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.